Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell. I'm a doula in Washoe County, Nevada, a Medicaid provider, a lactation educator, childbirth educator, and mom of 18. You can find me and connect on doulainreno.com. Remember, give a shout out to those who are brave enough to share their stories with us on how they have become parents. Let's dive in. Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm the host, Jennifer Campbell. I am so excited. Today is a local release episode. These are so fun for me because Karen, I know you. We've hugged. I share your information a lot. Yay! I know. I love what you're doing. I love your story. I'm super excited about this. And I want you to start by telling me about your parenting journey.
Yeah. So my parenting journey was a little bit unexpected, you know, just based on my life and my background and just things that I lived through growing up. I kind of made the decision a long time ago to be child free, and meeting my partner as I did and him having two children already opened my eyes to, okay, is this something that I can, you know, want, you know, to embrace. And I did. So I became a parent figure overnight. You know, we definitely did not introduce me to the kids right away. We wanted to be very delicate about that, but knowing that they were there and a part of his life and then ultimately becoming a part of their lives was a little bit of an overnight thing in some ways, for sure.
I'd love to talk for you to talk about why you had wanted to be child free. My best friend from college called me one day, and I was pregnant with number four, but I had done some adoptions, and she's like, I don't know how to have this conversation with you, but we don't want to have kids. And I'm like, awesome. We don't all need to have kids. Like, there's no reason for you. You don't need the 2.3. And she's like, yeah, it sounds selfish to a lot of people because they had talked to their family about it and stuff like that. And they got some negative feedback, which is too bad. You should never be forced to do any of the things, like your career, nothing. You should never be forced for any of that. And I'm like, I think it's awesome if you don't want them. And if you feel like that means you have a more selfish lifestyle, but you're the best auntie in the world, like, who cares? Who people need to back up the train? But tell me about your decision why did you decide that?
You know, growing up, I mean, I lost my mom when I was 12 to breast cancer. She was a single mom, and we just didn't have a lot of family around, so I was basically an orphan. I grew up with some friends of hers from 12 to 18, and during that time I lived through three relationships with my guardian, but two marriages in that. And I just was kind of exposed to how unstable life can be. And I ultimately had hesitation in my relationships moving forward of, you know, is this someone that really can go the long haul with me? Or is this someone that it's just going to fall apart? Like I've seen so many times, you know, not in my own, not myself, but just growing up and seeing it all around me. And just kind of not really finding that person that made sense to have a child with. I had several long-term relationships, and the older I got and the further I got in my career, I was like, you know, I just never had that, you know, inert desire to have a child of my own. And ultimately I kind of had this epiphany where I was like, you know, at some point, you know, we're going to have to call it because I'm not going to try to have kids at 50, or, you know, I'm not going to, the road is going to end on the reproduction train at some point. And so I need to be, you know, sure about this one way or another. And I had an epiphany of, you know, I was owning Kaya already at that point. And I basically realized I drove more joy from being able to impact many women's lives than I might by impacting and putting all that energy into one life. So I kind of, you know, I feel like the four studios at Kaya Fitzgerald are almost like my kids. You know, the women I can help become better versions of themselves. Like I put that energy that I think I would have into my biological children into that. And I think that's where that kind of goes. I think we all have motherly instincts. I don't think being child-free is necessarily being selfish, although there's a whole negative stigma around it in a lot of circles. But I think for many, you know, you just have different passions where you can put that same energy into that and still get a very fulfilling return.
I agree. And as a business owner and an author, I mean, like, people who write books are like, it was like a child. And that's not minimizing having children, but it is a very similar process and exhaustion level and time and energy. And I know you have a dog, and I was like, yeah, but you can't kennel train a child. It's not legal.
You cannot, unfortunately. Yeah.
I would be like, you can get someone to cover your Kaya Fit. You know, you can get someone to cover your business, and you can't, it is different, but it is a lot of that same energy. So I would not minimize that at all, or think it's, I want to talk about that part of your story too, because I think that will mean a lot more when you say, so you own Kaya Fit. I want to talk about that too. You owned Kaya Fit before you guys met and had a relationship.
I did not actually. Okay. So I've been with Kaya Fit for over 13 years. So I definitely have been a part of Kaya Fit since before, my relationship with Mark, and, it helped me lose 100 pounds 12, 13 years ago when I first walked in the doors. Changed my life. Absolutely. I was a journalist. I still am a digital marketer, and have that occupation as well. But losing that weight, it just showed me, more than losing the weight, it showed me that I was capable of doing something I never thought I could do. And once you kind of prove something like that to yourself, then all of a sudden, like, gloves are off. Like, okay, if I can do this, then maybe I can do that. And I saw a progression in my own career. I saw a progression in a lot of different areas of my life. But ultimately, the person who talked me into buying Kaya Fit Sierra was my partner, was Mark. We're engaged now. Yes. But he's the one who talked me. Yes.
This is like a local celebration. Networking group, which is very supportive, and everybody was cheering for you.
I should just say fiance, but I'm not used to it yet.
Yeah. I always thought it sounded weird. And then Seinfeld had an episode where Elaine kept saying the word fiance, like she was from another country. And it made me laugh so hard. Cause I was like, it's like saying boyfriend when you're not in junior high school, you know, I mean,
Yes. It's the same thing. It's like boyfriend's weird. Fiance's weird. It's like, so I always go to like other half partner, but
I know. I used to say partner. Cause I was like, I don't want to say boyfriend. I'm not saying fiance, but yes.
I know.
I want you to back up 13 years. So I understand making the decision and calling it to not have children, and then funneling that energy into all these other women. And that will make sense to the listeners shortly. We'll connect all these dots. I want you to talk about your journey with Kaya Fit. I know that you lost weight and, but I don't know that story, like before, you know, what your life was like and in the gaining weight or where, like that part of it. And then the losing weight journey. And then you met your fiance. You guys met, and then he encouraged you to buy it, which is like, I didn't know that piece either, but I want you to take me from starting to gain weight to him encouraging you to purchase it.
Yeah. So, you know, like I mentioned, my mom passed when I was 12, and, you know, something like that, being alone like that from 12 to 18 and ultimately onward, you know, I do not have a relationship with the woman who raised me. After my mom, we had a falling out in 2004-ish, 2005, and, never changed my phone number just in case she ever decides to call. Cause I just am stubborn like that.
Okay.
But, it was a really rocky growing up after my mom passed. Yeah. And I always held on to the things that she inspired me to do, like really good grades. You know, I worked really hard. She had a very incredible work ethic. She was very smart. So I stayed on top of all those things. I graduated valedictorian in high school. I got scholarships to college. All these things. But inside, I was very empty and I was struggling and I was dabbling in experimenting with drugs or drinking a lot or, you know, any of those things. And it took a few years, but being able to kind of leave those things behind, the hole still was there. And what entered it was food. So, you know, it's just the most legal drug there is. And And it's a slow process. You know, you lean on overeating, you lean on comfort foods, you lean on these things that make you feel okay temporarily or remind you of better times or whatever. And every year I would have to go to the doctor because I've always had to have very early breast cancer screenings just because my mom passed when she was 44. So I'm only four years away from that. Yeah. So I've been very much like with or without health insurance, I never miss my annual checkup screening. Yeah. But in my 20s, every time I went, I would like, oh, I'm up another 15 pounds. Oh, I'm up another 20 pounds. And eventually, I think it was 2009, 2010, I got on the scale and I was in the 270s. I was really like math wise. I'm like, I'm a year or two out from 300 pounds. I knew I was a size 22 going on 24 because I had to dress myself. You can't be in denial forever on some of those things.
Right.
But the somehow that number and seeing how I could potentially be 300 pounds, something about 300 just did not sit right. And I didn't have any tools in my toolkit. I didn't know, like, okay, I don't know what to do, but I knew I needed to do something. And that kind of opened me up to, you know, talking to friends, you know, trying stupid DVD videos that were terrible and not really a workout. But they said they were. They said they were super fun. You wouldn't feel like you're working out at all and whatever. But ultimately it was a colleague. Yeah, exactly. I'm just like dancing around in my, like, I don't even know what it was. I was some kind of flirty fitness situation. I don't even know if that's it was like, you're like being sexy, but like, anyway, I don't recall losing any weight because of it. But a colleague of mine at the Reno Gazette Journal, cause I was a journalist, I was working at the paper here, and she had just done a story on Kaya Fit opening in South Reno. And there was a new spot opening in West Reno. And she said they had a free class. She's like, you should go. And I'm like, well, I like free, but Kaya what? And she's like, yeah, it's at 6 a.m. I'm like, ooh, because I worked nights. I'm like, waking up at 9 a.m. is like a big win for me. And you're saying 6 a.m.? Like, we're talking crazy because I literally wouldn't even get home till 1 a.m., you know, any of that stuff. So just from work. And I remember almost talking myself out of it. All the way up until the morning of when my alarm went off and there was a blizzard and I got lost and there was all these things. And I walked in, and this was back in the day when we didn't really have apps to signal that we're going to something. They just had no idea who was going to come to this. Yeah. I mean, they didn't know who I was or what was going on, but I walked in, I was a little late cause I did get lost. There was these women sitting in this half circle and they all stood up and they all gave me a hug. And they didn't know me. I didn't know them. I was like, I had no idea. And they told me how happy they were that I was there. And I'd never really been embraced by women in a way like that before, which was really interesting to me. I was 26 at the time. And prior to that, I inherently would be like, oh no, I aim to have guy friends because, you know, women can be so dramatic, or, you know, just all the stigma, all the stereotypes, right? And that was just the first taste of how incredible and supportive women could be. Mm-hmm. And that was really, I mean, yeah, the workout sucked and was awesome at the same time, right?
Always, 100%, every day.
I was super sore. I didn't even own a sports bra when I walked into this joint. I was like, I was a hot mess, like beyond. But literally it was the women I was connecting with and their expectation to see me the next day, to see me there working outside along them. I couldn't not go. And that's basically what happened. I just kept going. And as we got into our first boot camp where nutrition was a bigger conversation.
Okay, this was my next question. Good.
Yeah,
good.
The nutrition side. It's not just working out. That's for sure.
Yeah, you think?
I wish I could just drink on all holiday season and eat all the pie and do
me
whatever.
Nope.
Yeah, but that's just not life. That's not how our bodies work.
Right.
And going up to this first boot camp, I was kind of in negotiations with the original owner, Natalie, about just little pieces here and there of like, okay, well, maybe instead of Flaming Hot Cheetos, you can try some veggie chips. And maybe instead of this milk, maybe you can try almond milk. And maybe instead of this Frosted Flake cereal, you can go with Cheerios. And then maybe we can get you over to like a protein, you know, smoothie. You know, it was these little changes that I was kind of negotiating along the way. But when Brick came, when that boot camp came, I knew that the cost of it for me at that time, I was a lowly copy editor making hardly any money. It was a big expense. And actually even the gas to get to Kaya was a big expense for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, Karen, you've done a whole lot of half-assing on a whole lot of different things that you're expecting full-ass results on. But what happens if you really put your whole ass into this effort and see what actually comes out of it? And if it doesn't work, then you know, because you're not, I'm not going to spend that kind of money. That was a big part of my own personal budget to half-ass it or to basically guarantee that I'm not going to get out of it what I'm really putting in. So, I kind of had that pep talk with myself. It, again, I think so much of a fitness journey or wellness journey or any of these things, it starts with that initial flip of the switch in your head where you're like, I'm ready to do X.
Right.
And that opens you up to finding the methods that might help you do X. And then once you get into it, it's like, okay, am I really in this or am I not? And for me, I had to have that second pep talk of like, I just got to be in it. I don't know how to cook. No one ever taught me. I was orphaned very, very young. I didn't know anything. You know, I just didn't have tools. And I embraced the very simple soup recipes that they had all kinds of recipes, but soup seemed safe. Salads, I could chop some things and put it together. Kept it real simple.
Yeah.
But I basically did everything to a T, the same overachiever status that I had in high school and college and work and everything else other than my personal life. Right. And that ultimately is what kicked off my weight loss. Initially I was the first Biggest Loser at Kaya Fit Sierra. I lost 19.2 pounds in those 6 weeks. Didn't think I would. I was just going for the perfect attendance award. I thought that was the only thing I could win. Honestly, I was surprised. Awesome. I was surprised. I was like, wait, what? And it really kickstarted and set that fire of like, oh, wait, I can do this. Like, oh, like, well, let me keep going. Like, where can we take this? And toward the end of that year of 2011, I was invited to become a coach, to get certified as a coach at Kaya. And that was shocking because I was like, literally my first question was like, well, how much more weight do I need to lose? Cause in my mind, like these trainers and coaches, like they're just perfection on a pedestal, right? From my point of view. And you want me to be one? Like, oh my God, like what weight do I need to be one of those? And that's actually not what it is at all. The wonderful answer I was given was you just keep doing what you're doing and go to that certification. And I'm like, okay. And that's what happened. I went in there with a whole lot of imposter syndrome going on, not feeling like I don't want to stick out too much. I don't know if I'm going to be like sent home at any one point. Like, what is she doing here? And, you know, it worked out. I got certified. I started coaching before, after I'd work at the newspaper and had been coaching for a very long time. So from 2011, 2012 onward, Kaya's just always been a part of my life. And it was important for me to be a part of a training team, a coach team, where everyone's journey can be reflected. And I was reflecting that journey of like, it doesn't matter where you're coming from, you can make decisions and you can embrace learning and opportunities to better yourself for yourself. And that actually ultimately ended my relationship that I was in at that time. I changed so much that I realized the relationship wasn't right anymore for either of us. I really spent a good amount of time just being single and not having to apologize for having to be up at 3:30 in the morning to teach a 5 a.m. class or, you know, just kind of doing me. Went through another relationship and then ultimately met Mark and I was very much elevated in my journalism profession. I was speaking nationally on different social media topics. I would travel a lot. You know, it was very corporate. I'd wash my hair every day, you know, things.
Wow. Yeah. Those things. Yeah.
That That's kind a of rough job. Life.
You know? Yeah. No yeah, leggings. No, yeah. Yeah no,
it's rough no, now. Like, I'm like, man, I did that every day. Oh my gosh. Right. It just wasn't a question back then. But ultimately, the opportunity to take over Kaya Fit Sierra to save it, not from the original owner, but from the next owner, arose in 2018. And I was very nervous about it because I did not go into 2018 ever really wanting to be a business owner, just like I never really intended to be a mom or a stepmom. And I came out of 2018 owning technically three businesses. Kaya Fitzgerald was three studios at that time. And it was really my step to help save the business so that we could preserve the spaces for these women to literally have the experiences that I've had. Because if we don't preserve that, then they just don't exist here. There's just not a super comfortable women-only space in Reno where women can find their heart in any given exercise and not worry about being watched, you know, lurked on, judged, any of that. So it was really important to me.
That is really important. What was your total weight loss? How long did it take you? Mm-hmm. Because like you went from, I don't even own a sports bra to running for fitness and coaching. Like it's, yeah. I only know this version of you, but you mentioned, yeah. Usually when you do the introduction that it's for women only, it's a comfortable place to be. It's where you started and you lost a certain amount of weight, but I don't remember what it was. So I think I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. So I ultimately lost 100 pounds in 18 months. So it was, it was 80 pounds the first year. And so we were using that 80 pound thing as kind of a marketing tool for the original owner. Cause I was like, look at me. She would like have photos, my before and after photos at booths and stuff is really cute. So I was really trying to help promote the fact that when you're part of a community, like, and support, like anything is possible. I never would have held myself accountable. I never would have been able to make a switch from leaning on food as a comfort to leaning on the women around me as comfort. It's just a different mind shift. And, you know, I will always have to battle overeating. It's just going to always be like when stress is high or emotions are low, that tendency to want to just eat, eat, eat. It will be with me forever. It's not like, you know, you lose 100 pounds and you're this robot, like, okay, we're done. Like goal achieved, go forth.
Right.
Yeah. It's never going to be
anymore. It's gone.
It's never going to be. I wish it was, I would be super down for it, but I talk about all the time, like, you know, yes, I lost 100 pounds, but you know, when COVID happened and I was a business owner owning Kaya.
Oh my gosh. And trying to
through that, it was incredibly stressful. I took on a second full-time job that I worked virtually just to make ends meet for Kaya. It was insane. And I noticed that from around that time, or even maybe dating back to when I first took over, I really put Kaya ahead of myself. So I found, you know, I went through 5 different loose skin surgeries to remove loose skin. Mm-hmm. 'Cause apparently, like, my weight was always up and down growing up, but when I lost weight at 18, everything just bounced back. When I lost weight at 26 with Kaya, nothing seemed to bounce back. All of a sudden, I was old and over the hill as 26 when it comes to skin, which is fantastic. But I remember at the end of 2022, I went through my 5th and final loose skin surgery. It was on my arms because that was kind of a stubborn area that was not going the way that the conservative treatments were helping it trying to go. I just didn't feel like myself. I had gained weight over that period of time of ownership. I kind of had this epiphany again, with the epiphanies always, but I was just like, my gosh, I'm just not even putting myself first. It's Kaya first, you know, the business first. And then here I am, I'm still working out. That's non-negotiable, but what am I really doing with food? And when I looked at it, I'm like, okay, well, I'm still eating better quality food. It's not like I'm eating the Flaming Hot Cheetos anymore and, you know, just engorging myself on processed stuff, but a tub of hummus ain't doing anyone any favors, you know, a bunch of ground turkey in your, you know, it's just the quantity still matters. And so I did a hard reset going into 2022 while I was still healing from my loose skin procedure. And really focused in on the nutrition, it was like, now I have the tools. So what's my excuse
at this point? Right.
And so I dove in. We were testing as owners, the pairing of like Ora organic supplements with Kaya nutrition plans. And so I was doing that kind of testing for 30 days and I lost 21.2 pounds in those 30 days, which was better than my brick in 2011. It was insane. It helped me reset. I'm like, oh my gosh, here we are. And I kept going, and I ultimately lost 45 pounds in 2022. And I've been able to manage that ever since. But it's just an example of like, yes, I had that 100 pound weight loss, but then I had to go through a 45 pound weight loss just a couple years ago, because life is life. And I think sometimes we feel like that progress journey needs to be this straight line. And yeah, honestly, going to be anything but. Kids are going to be a factor. Jobs are going to be a factor. Your relationships are going to be a factor. Your own motivation, your own anything is going to be a factor. And they all come together in different ways every given day, where some days are going to be more successful and some days aren't. And as women, we're the first to critique ourselves and criticize ourselves and get down on ourselves when we don't do it perfect. And if we didn't do it perfect, then what's the point? But there's always a point, because even the most windy path is still going forward. So you just got to keep plugging away and know that the ebbs aren't failures and that the flows aren't like the ultimate success, because ultimately you're going to be ebbing and flowing naturally your whole life. It's
right.
It's something you have to be ready for. And that's the hard thing about like any sort of post big achievement, right? Like I did it, I lost 100 pounds, but here's the rest of my life to see how that goes.
Ta-da! it is. I mean, I would never want to minimize that treatment, that what you did, you know, 100 pounds is, that's a lot. That's like a person. Mm.
It's like, yeah, it's a big child.
It's a very large child. So, I mean, that is a huge accomplishment. You're right, though. I love that you're pointing out, like, it's not one and done. You don't arrive. It isn't a destination. It's still a journey. Yeah. And it's still hard. And it still takes effort. And you were like the face of Kaya at that point. Yeah. And it's still, that doesn't mean that you're good. You're safe now. You've made it.
Right.
So I think that's important with everything. And our business is very fluid. It's not like a static thing. It's always changing. There's always that ebb and flow. You lost that weight, met Mark.
Mm-hmm.
What made the switch in you in this situation to be okay with stepkids? Because I'm a blended family, and I'm telling you, that is the hardest situation. Blended family is the hardest. We, I think, did a really great job at something that was tremendously difficult. So for going from not wanting kids to, hey, let's jump into the most challenging situation with kids. That sounds like a great idea.
Why not make it hard?
Well, because like this was
extra hard.
Yeah, this was 6 years ago or more when you met Mark. Yeah. Because when you had the opportunity to buy Kaya, you're making two massive decisions, because by then you weren't like eating Top Ramen in your business and barely making ends meet and trying to figure out gas to Kaya. You're actually doing better. You're getting flown to all these conferences. You're getting your career to where you probably had wanted it initially. That's right. I was doing a lot of speaking, that was my goal. And lots of us don't make it there. So you have this business like really where you want it, and you are so like, let's throw both of those things out the window. Let's have stepkids and buy Kaya Fit.
Yeah, it's
was a huge shift.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because meeting Mark, it was one of those situations where we clicked in a way I'd never clicked with anyone before. And it was interesting. It was just all personality based. We were just friends, you know, and supportive of each other.
That's how they trick you.
I mean, good job, Mark. Here we are. But we, you know, we really supported each other as we were both coming out of tumultuous relationships. I was coming out of my own, and he was coming out of his own. And, you know, just the support of being there for each other in that, because our exes had just similar behavior patterns that are, you know, tough. And to have someone who can relate to that was huge, because I just felt like I was a crazy person, you know, as I was in my last relationship, and I wanted to get off the roller coaster. And, you know, having that voice of like someone who's kind of dealing with the same thing on their own end in their own life, really, really, really helpful. And it really showed me a lot about, you know, what amazing people could be like. You know, you just don't know sometimes. And having that full support was really incredible. And ultimately moving into a space of, you know, dating, you know, his kids were never not in the picture, right? He and his ex-wife have split custody 50-50. And that's something I absolutely wanted for him for sure, because truly, I have nothing to do with their marriage. I only know so much about it, you know, because it's really not my business in a lot of ways. But from my perspective and from Mark's perspective, you know, it's 50-50 and if they both contributed to the downfall of their marriage. Well, either way, I still feel like they're still both parents and they still both deserve half the time with the kids. You know, I don't really, unless there's some kind of crazy circumstance that would dictate like a shifting of that to 70-30 or whatever else is, you know, everyone has their own stuff going on. But I was very pro split custody. I thought that was really important for the kids. When we started dating, I was basically dating him on the custody schedule.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Because now
all of us who have been divorced are dating on the custody schedule. Like,
yeah.
We have one life with the kids and a different life without them.
Sure. And it was, it was a 2-2-3 schedule. So it was 2 days on, 2 days off, 3 days on. And that naturally kind of swapped weekends every week. And they're younger. And so that made sense for a while. But that meant I was on a 2-2-3 schedule and the transitions and the like on, off, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like dizzying. But I think when it comes to the decision of like, you know, okay, you're an amazing person. Can I embrace a life with kids with you? You know, in a lot of I've never been like anti. I had loosely dated someone with children before, but other than that, anyone I dated did not have children. I was open to it because of the nature of our connection. And I felt like that connection and that sort of person that I'd found, that there wasn't anything that I wouldn't be willing to at least, I could not be shut off, you know, right, preemptively. Children are not like a deal. They're not a bad thing.
Right.
You know, they just weren't the right choice for me. And so here I am ebbing into this. And so it was a pretty simple, you know, when you first told me he had kids and we first started talking about, and then we first started talking about more seriously in that regard, it just wasn't I didn't set a fire and like, you know, drink some hot cocoa and really mull my like life, you know, moving forward, you know, if I was going to introduce some children into my life, like there was never like a period that I was like, ooh, I really need to like think through this. This is so major. It was just kind of like, this is your life and I really am connected to you. And yeah, I'm open to it. And let's feel this out, you know, let's make it work. And I really have a lot of respect for him in a few different ways. One, we waited a while before I ever met the kids. It was never like, okay, we're dating and now like, you know, here we go.
Yeah.
It really can't be that way. To the best of anyone's ability, I really think for the kids' sake and just for my own personal experience, experiencing different relationships growing up in my own home, and being like the outside of that and just seeing the turmoil that would like ebb and flow with all these things going on and nothing feeling stable. You know, that's the last thing I ever wanted to introduce to anyone's life, much less his kids. So we waited a while for me to meet them. But, you know, the main thing I really had respect for Mark on was he truly worked with the kids as they were decompressing from the divorce. And as they were settling, to just help lay a foundation of respect for me ultimately, but layering a foundation of respect. And ultimately, when I entered their lives, I think partly because I never had a big desire to be a mother directly myself, I never came in as a stepmom-ish person. You know, obviously you're dating, you don't just assume you're a stepmom, but you are in some ways. I never had the desire to like, okay, well, here's my chance to like be a mom and like, you know, no, they have a mom and you know, they have that role in their life and they don't need me like trouncing around, getting all up in their business as if I was trying to be their mom. And I, from the very beginning, I don't remember how formally we talked through this in terms of like, yeah, this is the role Karen's going to have, but the discussions that we've always had were really like, I just want to be a positive role model. You know, I want to coexist in a space where there's respect, where both ways, that hopefully whatever I'm doing, whatever they're seeing from me, inspires them to do awesome things for themselves. And that's it. That's kind of where I come at it. There's a lot of pros to that because I'm not in the murk of trying to be a second mom. There's cons to that though too. You know, when you are the positive role model, you're not involved in the disciplinary, right? You're not involved in the messy like that. You could be around, like there's things, but I am not the disciplinary. It's not my place. It's not my role. And fortunately, because of the respect that the kids and I have for each other, it hasn't really come down to that. It's not like Mark's not in the house, so they're like, oh, we're gonna go crazy because Karen can't discipline us. It's never been like that in any way. But the con is that Mark can feel like a single parent when he is in those disciplinary situations, dealing with the hard stuff of being a parent, even though he has my support, even though I'm there with him, even though I can help bring different perspectives and whatever the situation might be. That's a con that we've had to work through a lot because, you know, it's tricky. And I think to one point we had a discussion, maybe a few months ago, but we were talking about that, you know, that, you know, he feels alone in some of these scenarios because I can't just like come into that bedroom with him, you know, and be like, yeah, you know, like I can't back him up in the way that a mom can back them up, right? So he's losing that. And I was reflecting on that and I totally understood it. And we were talking through it. And I was like, well, you know, I totally get that. And I think back to if we approach this differently, if maybe I took on more of a stepmom role, you know, that somehow we tried to navigate that instead. And I just see everything being so much harder with his ex-wife. I see everything being so much harder with the kids. I don't think we'd have the mostly peace that we do have in this household if I was bumbling literally because I have no parenting experience. So I mean, not that like any parent comes with parent experience on their back when they have their first child, but literally, I'd just be hopping into the frying pan, just, you know, like bulldozing, you know, china in a china shop kind of situation. And instead, I've been very thoughtful and tactful in a lot of these instances and just trying to help give my opinions or thoughts to the kids as it seems appropriate. But being more of a support for Mark, you know, when needed and finding that there's going to be pros and cons to kind of both of those paths. And there's no perfect choice, but it was the best choice for us and for me coming in, you know, having already felt like child-free was the way for me. And we're not 2-2-3 anymore. We're week on, week off,
Oh,
which I
good.
was,
That's so good.
oh,
Quick.
it's so much
I
better.
did the same thing. Yeah.
It's a
So
whole
much
thing.
better.
Yeah, 2-2-3. It's just full of transitions. As soon as the kids get settled, they're packing up again or they're going back to the other house again or whatever. And the consistency for week on, week off is just so much better. And you know, and it's interesting because even though Mark has kids, because of the nature of the custody, we still have time to just be a couple amongst ourselves. And then we have time when the kids are with us to prioritize the kids. And then we go back to prioritizing ourselves. And then we go back. And it's never a clean, you know, there's certainly things that pop up on the off
Right, both
weeks or
sides.
whatever. Yeah, it's not like he blocks everyone's numbers like when we don't have the kids last week or anything. So we don't hear about things that are going down, or we try to, you know, do our best from the other household or whatever. But I think that's kind of helped make a balance for a person like for me, being a child-free decision maker, but then embracing stepkids, having that like balance for myself, I'm sure that helped.
Yes.
And there's going to be, you know, a friend of mine, she is getting into a very serious relationship and she's very similar to me. We're like almost identical in age. We've grown up together and been best friends since eighth grade. And she is getting into a relationship and he is a full-time parent. The mother, mm-hmm. I guess, had passed away at some point. The child is five. And, you know, we've talked back and forth because she's just getting into this scenario. And I'm like, it's going to be harder because it's 100% off. You know, for me, I do have that, like, I still get that time to myself or get that time just with Mark. So you get those breaks, you get those like ebbs and flows, but it's still hard. Like when we have a really great week with the kids, it's super hard to see them go. You know, it's not like I'm like, oh yes. Like I really am not because I really do enjoy being around them, but it is nice to have balance in life. And for me kind of ebbing in, I'm lucky that it's a balanced way. I don't know how it would have all gone if it was 100% time on. I mean, I can't go back in time and predict that, but
yeah,
I'm grateful for how it is just so that I have my own release valve as well, where I can just be Karen.
I get it. Karen. We don't have tons of time left, but I want you to briefly tell me about what it was like to go through the five surgeries, because in my mind that it's not anything I've had to experience. And so it seems scary to me. The healing, the whole, are things going to feel off? Does it still feel like your body? Is there nerve damage? Like that's where my brain goes. So I want you to share that. And then I want you to shamelessly self-promote KiaFit. That's how we're going to end.
Love it. I love it. I am almost tempted to try to Google the thing that actually inspired me to think that I could even do loose skin surgery. It was a show on TLC. It was around the time that my 600-pound life came on, and it was a show that would air like right after. It wasn't my 600-pound life. It was just the show of like people who had extreme weight loss and their skin was completely problematic and they're going through skin surgeries. So I was watching this show and I was probably like 4 years into my weight loss. And time had helped a little bit. I'd been told, you know, like time, hydration, you know, drink a lot of water. I would always put on, you know, high quality lotion. I mean, I don't know. I would, whether I was spending more on a lotion and it was supposed to be a firming lotion or I was spending less because I would just use so much. I mean, whatever. I was just always putting lotion on after every shower because we're in a dry climate here in Reno. But that show, I always had assumed that skin surgery was just out of my realm, that it was out of my budget. It was like for rich people who live in LA, you know, I don't know, whatever stereotype you want to think of it.
Not the normal person,
you know, who's just like, oh, I have to tuck my skin into my jeans and that's really sucky. Because I was dealing with sagginess all over. I was lucky in my weight gain and my weight loss in the sense that I didn't just have it all in one spot. I mean, that's a pro con, right? Like that can be a pro con for anybody, but for me, it was a little bit all over. So it wasn't like I had an apron of skin. I didn't, but I did have a general overall sagginess. I remember I was sitting on the edge of a pool a year or so after I'd lost 100 pounds, and I was in a bathing suit and I was just sitting on the edge of the pool and my skin was kind of like pooling out, so to speak, pun intended, from where I was sitting. Like the thigh skin was just kind of melting out of my body. Oh my God. Right. It was just like, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, okay, this is not cool.
What do you do with that?
Yeah. Like, what do you do? And it's tricky because loose skin, it represented a time in my life where one, I was not taking care of myself. It was the destruction I had done to my own body. Two, a time where I was in need of what I'd finally found, which was community and support and, you know, connection with other people, so that I didn't need that from food like I had needed it.
Right.
And the loose skin, it would get in the way of things. So for instance, I remember I would do a high knee exercise, which is basically you're standing and you're bringing one knee up at a time, like you're marching, but you're, if you can, you add a hop. And I remember doing that exercise and just feeling like I was in a loose bodysuit, but it was my skin. And that was creepy. I didn't want to feel like a skeleton in my, that was gross. It was weird. Yeah. So there was these instances that really bugged me. The tucking my hip skin into my jeans really bugged me. And, you know, I'm seeing the show and I'm seeing just normal people like taking on these surgeries and whatever, you know, their different issues were, whatever was going on. I found it really fascinating and it started to plant the seed of like, well, what about me? Maybe this is an option. And so I started to do research and I wanted to stay local. I didn't want to have to travel to a doctor. I didn't want to, do anything that like, if something went wrong, I'd have to hop on a plane. Like that just didn't seem like the ideal situation.
Right.
So I looked around in Reno and I just started online and I completely filtered out anyone who had mixed reviews online. I didn't want to be the flip of a coin person. So I found two doctors who only had positive reviews and they also offered various methods that would address loose skin. Cause I didn't want to pigeonholed into you're getting the tummy tucks. That's all we do. And that's what you're getting. Cause that's it. And you know, I wanted them to actually look at my body. What's the best path? I did a consultation with them both. And ultimately went with the doctor. And it was Dr. James Murphy who, he offered a conservative approach and I was interested at the time. It was actually called Smart Lipo.
Okay.
And, I didn't really need liposuction. But it involved lasers and involved resculpting because all that fat cells, while they shrunk, they still did exist and they still did sag down and, you know, change the shape of my body in different areas. So it was a resculpting and a tightening method. And the surgeries itself, I did four of those and they had to be on different areas of my body. So we started with the thighs because at the other consultation, she said, well, I could do a thigh lift, but I wouldn't do it and it would be extremely painful. And I just don't think there's anything I can do. And I'm like, well, there's really nothing you can do for my thighs. Like, it's like a frowny face over my knees. Like, is there nothing, there's nothing I'm going to have like 80-year-old thighs like forever. Like this is crazy. And he actually, James Murphy was willing to do the Smart Lipo on my thighs.
Yeah.
So we went through that procedure and I was like, okay, well, let me do that one because you can only do so much of your body at one time. Let's see how it goes. And if it goes well, then I know my doctor. And if it doesn't go well, I'll go back to the other doctor who had a completely different plan, you know, yada, yada, yada. And it went well. It went perfect. For someone like me who had a little bit of sagginess everywhere at that point, especially because it had been 5 years when I finally pulled the trigger, it was painful, though. Don't get me wrong. It was more conservative. I was able to be awake the whole time. He did insert a wand underneath. So I had like little bullet hole looking scars and stitches that still look like I'm 50 Cent. Like I got shot.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. There's a lot of like little puncture like holes, but you can't really see them now. So it's like, whatever. I can still find some, but it went well. It was very painful. I had to wear compression wear. It was really hard to you basically have to chew the pain meds when you're conscious during a procedure like that. And the taste of that bitterness was probably the thing I have the most, if you want to call it PTSD about, the most anxiety about. I would actually get very anxious about having to chew those again on my three next surgeries. So we went from the thighs. And then we went after the tummy and then we did the back and the back of the arms. And then we just did the arms. And this is over the course of a couple of years. And then I took over Kaya and we left off with the arm. Like, let's see how this heals. And in a year, if it's not, you know, we can come back to it. And it didn't really come in as much as it should have. And Kaya was the priority. So jump forward another couple of years and 2021, I'm like, I'm done with this arm skin. We have to cut it off. And that's what he did for me right before Thanksgiving of that year. And that had its own issues. My left side had a wound opening and an infection, even though I'm right-handed. I wasn't even using my left arm. Right arm healed. The whole incision's in my armpit. But that healed in 2 weeks. This took 9 weeks. I actually had hole in my armpit for 9 weeks. And this was while I was, you know, kind of resetting my own nutrition for that 45 pound weight loss. I would say the difference between going under and getting skin cut off and then going through the more conservative procedures. So more conservative procedure, I was awake the whole time. And I guess I'm hilarious and I really love lifesavers when I'm okay. They just throw lifesavers.
Good to know.
There are lifesavers in my mouth while they're doing okay. Whatever.
All right.
And then and I didn't anticipate, but I remember when I was like, oh, we're about to do this, the tummy one. I'm like, but how am I not gonna see what they're doing? Cause I don't want to freak out. And no matter what, you have to be fully naked, which I was not anticipating ever until the first, you know, the first one. But how you don't see yourself on the tummy one. They literally put what looks like a dog cone head, like the dog cone on your head. So I'm just naked on a table. They're doing what they're doing. I'm super high. They're tossing lifesavers and the dog cone at my mouth. They're like, I don't even know. This is a whole thing. And when I would go in for my check-ins, they would give me extra lifesavers. They're like, you really like these. I'm like, do I? Like, I guess I do, but only when I'm on those meds while you guys are like cutting me up.
Super
so,
cool.
Yeah. So I was able to go home and, you know, I was able to coach within 4 days.
Wow.
I was able to work out within a week and a half, 2 weeks on these conservative procedures. They're painful though. There was a lot of soreness. There was a lot of bruising because of just the intrusion and the sculpting is very intrusive to the body in that way. The big one where I actually had the skin cut off, I went under, I was anticipating a full, like, oh, this must be so much worse. You know, all these things. I literally felt completely fine when I got out. I didn't hurt at all. Even when I had the wound opening, I could not feel it. It just was there. It was something that we noticed when Mark was helping change my bandages. It was more restrictive in the healing process as far as when I could sweat, what I could do, when I'd be cleared to work out. So there were several weeks I just was not allowed, which was hard for my business too, because I would have to stand in and coach this or that. And I was just like okay, well, I'll talk you through it. I got my brain and I got my mouth and my arms are just going to be like this and you're going to be fine. Cause I would use some of the veteran girls to help demonstrate exercises and it would be fine, but we were trying to keep me off the schedule. But it was just, it was like a much more prolonged, like 9 weeks until I was literally cleared to do anything that had a motion like this. Running was big for me, but I couldn't run. I could start walking my dog, but I could only do it with my right hand because my left arm had to be, you know, safe. So it was a whole thing. I didn't have the kind of pain that I had in those more conservative procedures, but I had a more prolonged healing period. So very interesting in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everyone's so different. I don't like being on meds at all. So every time I'd go through something, I was able to kind of shorten that recovery medication period more and more, trying to get to the Tylenol as soon as possible, because I just hated how any sort of opioids like made me feel, you know, even if I needed them for the pain, I just was always in a rush to get off of those as soon as possible. So there was that too. But yeah, it was tricky. It was like, here's this more conservative procedure, which has all these pros. And then here's this way more extreme procedure, which has all these pros, but the cons, like they're just very different. The one thing I tell every woman who has come to me to talk about this, because I was very public about this journey. I posted all the photos on my Facebook. It's all in an album, the before, the afters, all the things. I tell them, make sure you start the way I did, which is doing all your research and do not settle for less. Make sure that anyone you go to talk to has multiple options at their disposal so that it's not like you're getting shoehorned into one massive procedure that you might not need. I mean, at the other doctor, I was quoted for a mini tummy tuck, brachiotomy. There was something else. It was just all very intense around the torso. And ultimately I didn't need all that intense, you know, the arms. Yes, I did need that on the arms ultimately, but I didn't need all the rest of that. I actually could go far more conservative and get a normal body shape, which was all I was looking for. It's normal, not calendar girl, just normal for sure.
Karen, tell us the easiest way to get in touch with you and do your Kaya Fit spiel that I know and love.
Well, Kaya Fitzsierra is women's fitness and nutrition. We have 4 studios across Reno Sparks, as well as online workout options. So even someone who doesn't live in Reno Sparks can absolutely work out with us and get all of our nutritional guidance online. So we have those options as well. Basically, we come together and personalize our training so that every woman can find their hard in a big group and have fun, achieve their goals, and basically just kind of come out of every single class feeling like the best version of themselves. Like they push themselves to achieve something they never thought they could achieve before, whether that's their first push-up or down the road, something bigger. It is for every single level, whether you have coming in with an injury or something else. We are all about making sure that you are safe and happy and connected. We do more than just workouts, obviously, and nutrition. We have our community and we have special events. But if you're interested, we always offer a free week. So you just go to KayaFitzsierra.com. You can email us at info@KayaFitzsierra.com, KayaFitzsierra. And, or you can text us anytime, 775-375-KAYA-5242. So you'll reach me or my accounts manager, someone on my team. And if you want to have a full conversation with me about any of the things I talked about with the weight loss journey or the skin surgeries or any of that, I think a lot of times we privatize some of those things. We don't talk about them enough in public. And we just don't. And I think for anyone who needs to have that conversation with another person about what they're thinking about possibly doing, because ultimately if you lose the weight, you can either live with the skin damage if you have it, or you don't have to live with it. And there's options and there's no right or wrong. It's always coming down to what's right for that person.
Thank you so much for sharing your journey. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, I appreciate you. Absolutely.